Come on, why don't we just remain standing just for a minute? Come on, we'll lift up your hands and just begin to pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here in this place. And Lord, we are believing for a touch from heaven. Friend, I don't know if you need a miracle, but last time I checked, yeah, they come from God. And so why don't we just lift our hands in the presence of God? And honestly, you don't need to wait till the end of the service for the miracle to take place. God's here right now in this meeting. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would surprise us, steal the show. Your name's going to be lifted up. Lord, I pray for those perhaps this evening who need a miracle to do with their finances even. Maybe they need to sell a house or buy some land, a pay increase. Student debt paid off. Lord, your hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in our life. Miracle after miracle. Maybe the miracle is to do with a broken heart. Maybe there's been disappointment or anxiety around your life. There's depression. Can't sleep because of all the worry. But the Bible says, who the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Or maybe tonight there is a bad report from a doctor. Maybe there's cancer in your world, or the doctors have said, this is your forever. You are going to have this condition for the rest of your life. And friend, that is simply not true. Because the Bible teaches us by his stripes, we are healed. And so, Lord, we lift our hands, come on, believing that something's going to turn, something's going to shift in our life, that actually this is the day that the Lord has made for us. And it's not a coincidence that we're at this conference, but a divine appointment, and that we are going to walk into a new day of the miraculous. And Lord, we love you, we honor you. We give you all the praise. And come on, church, if you believe that God's going to do something, why don't you give him another big clap and a shout? I honestly believe something amazing is going to happen. Come on, we can do better than that even. I think we can raise the roof and tell God how awesome he is. Amen. Well, you're looking sharp. Go and have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like Pastor Andrew already. Just say that and you're going to be just doing fine. Well, I love your pastors, and they are the real deal, and what an amazing church this is. And, you know, the best is yet to come. That's what I keep on telling myself, first year of pastoring. The best is just around the corner. But, you know, I love pastoring our people. We're the best people on the planet, I think, in our church. And, you know, since we started, we've had 100 decisions for Christ. We've baptized 38 people, and one funeral and one wedding, and we count all those in the first year. Everything you count. But you know, I just believe a great revival is going to happen in New South Wales, specifically, forget Queensland, and why not start here in this great church? And what an honor to be here tonight. And thank you for having me. You know, part of my story is that at the age of 13 years old, I had leukemia, which is cancer of the blood, which is always, you know, just a bad day, actually. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, I wasn't really in church. We were brought up in a Catholic upbringing. It was compulsory fun to go to church. And I don't despise my Catholic upbringing at all. I learned that God was real and definitely holy. Just didn't really know that he was a personable God. In Catholic Church, the guy in the dress gets the download, and he kind of tells you what's happening. And I was fine with that. I'm the youngest of 8 in my family. And so when I had leukemia, obviously really rocked our family. But at the age of 15, the short story is a pretty girl at church, at school, invited me to church, to a little youth group of about 20 people. And because I thought she was hot, I said, yes, oh, no, I went. And missionary dating. And the youth pastor said to me after about 6 weeks, Andrew, do you want to become a Christian? And I said, well, I don't know if I need to, because I go to Mass every Sunday, go to church every Sunday. And he said, just because you go to McDonald's every day doesn't make you a hamburger, and just because you attend a church doesn't make you a Christian, which I completely disagreed with. We were taught if you turned up to Mass, you're in. Doesn't matter how you act during the Monday to Friday, but as long as you just turned up to church, somehow magically that was enough to get you in. But I believed in God. Even then, back in the day, I knew that God was kind of real. And he said, you can pray a prayer asking God into your life, and he'll come in. You can have a relationship with him. And that was a turning point for me, because I didn't know that God wanted to have a relationship with me. So in front of all my unsaved friends by then, because I told them about the pretty girl, so they were all there as well, I prayed that prayer asking Christ to come into my life. I'm amazed, church, how one prayer can change everything. Like a 30-second moment, like a whisper to God. Do you know what I mean? Like a whisper, not even fully understanding or fully knowing the enormity of the moment. But and that's, I think God uses that naivety sometimes, because if we knew the enormity of that one prayer, we kind of wouldn't pray a prayer. Isn't it weird that 1 minute you're not going to heaven and then a prayer later you are? That 1 minute you're in a wheelchair and now you're walking. The 1 minute it's prayer's powerful. And so, we kind of just think, oh, we're going to shoot up a prayer. But he's listening. And he's God, and he's kind of big. So it's kind of like, think about that. And so I prayed a prayer, and God came into my life. I remember like it was yesterday, 15 years old. And then, about 6 months later, I was in remission. At that time, couldn't find the cancer. 6 months later, the cancer came back, and that was complicated. And I was diagnosed at the age of 17 years old to be terminal, which means the doctors give up on you and you die. And my parents had arranged my Catholic priest to anoint me for burial, and have the little incense in the room and all that sort of stuff. That's another bad day, by the way, because you actually think you're going to die. And then my youth pastors, about 4 hours later, these little Presbyterian youth pastors walked into the big Bible and smiling, and they said, Andrew, we want to pray for you. And I said, oh, that's good. And they said, we believe that God can heal you, and we've got a scripture saying this disease that you're having is not going to lead to death. And I remember looking at them going, oh, yeah. And I was sick. I don't know how sick you can think I would be. But you could have seen every rib on my body. With one hand, I could wrap my whole hand around my top of my leg and touch the side. I was very, very sick. And I said, yeah, all right, whatever you want to do. Not having a lot of faith, actually, because when the doctors told you you're going to die, when the family kind of tell you you're going to die, when the Catholic priests tell you you're going to die, you actually think you're going to die. And so I just thought, well, this is a bit of a lark. Pray, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm dying. And I remember when they were praying for me, like they didn't pray like a little Presbyterian prayer. They were roaring at me, like this praying and casting out demons or something. I don't know what they were trying to do, but like praying like with faith that something was going to happen. And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. And the very next, my blood test was every hour. I was having a blood test every hour. My next blood test, very next blood test, the doctor says, you know what? Something's changed. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And he says, oh, your blood's changed. And by the way, I knew everything. When you've been in a hospital for 5 years, you know everything about everything. And so I said, what do you mean? And he said, oh, your neutrophils are up, this is up, this is up. He said, this is remarkable. And I was like, oh, could it be that God was involved in that? And then, and that's why I don't think that God's going to heal people. I know he's going to heal people, because God healed me. And it's a different kind of faith. There's a cheekiness and a belief inside me that something can shift for people. And Pastor Rick, over the last 10 years when I've been traveling, we've seen over 100,000 people come to Christ in our services. We've had 56 people walk out of wheelchairs. 108 people who are terminal have written into our office saying that they've now healed and have come through that thing. Come on, give God a big clap out of that. Who would have thought that one prayer as a 15-year-old, come on, not fully knowing, not fully understanding of what would take place because of a whisper to God, and yet he heard something, and he said, you know what, I'll take that little seed, and let's just see what I can do with it. And it's amazing, you know, and I just believe that the prayers that were prayed tonight are going to echo throughout the eternity, throughout generations to come. And why not have a great revival right here in this beautiful part of the city and spread throughout the nations of the earth? You know, I want to talk to us about the miracles in the stretch. If I was to think about the great books of the Bible or the great characters of the Bible, most of them had a stretch moment to it. You know, you think of Noah, for example, you know, not a great movie, but a good story. And you know, like Noah, he's a classic, isn't he? But who thinks after about, you know, 20 years of building a boat without rain, that he'd be thinking, no, I don't want to do it. But because he built the boat, he was able to save his whole family. And what a miracle that was. But he built the boat. He stretched and built Abraham, great story. God says to Abraham, hey, you know that son that you like? He goes, yeah, yeah. Isaac, he goes, yeah, just take him up the mountain and sacrifice him. Sounds really good, you know, easy. It's not really that easy. I wouldn't think. I've got two sons, Samuel and Jonathan. Samuel is 17, age group champion of his running. Just ran the 800 meters in 2:04. And he's single and available. And just trying to help somebody. My son, we're taking CVs afterwards. And but, you know, if God said, hey, take Samuel up and sacrifice him, some days I would. Yeah, Rick, yeah, I think maybe, probably, yeah, it's good, could do. But, you know, when you're walking up that mountain, there would have been numerous times Abraham would have paused. As he was ill behind the bush. So much pressure on the moment. So much like, really? To lay him on that altar and tie him up? He was in his mind thinking that God would do something. But, you know, sharpening the knives. And because of that, God said, you're the father of faith. Put him out of the tent. Says, look at the stars, the skies. Your descendants will be like the stars. What about Esther in the Bible? I mean, there's another good stretch moment. Hey, Esther, go before the king. And you, by doing that, you're going to save the nation of Israel. She says, oh, that doesn't sound like me. And he says, no, you need to do it. And, you know, when she's putting her lipstick on that morning, the morning before, you know, she's getting all dolled up and stuff like that because she wants the king to like him, her. And she's like, you know, just walking in. Who knows? Surely she'd be having 1,000 butterflies. 1,000 butterflies. So nervous, wondering if God was going to come through, if the king didn't hold out his royal scepter, she's going to die. And but the king says, yeah, what do you want? She says, oh, just a nation, just my people, just Israel. She says, oh, piece of cake. What about the greatest stretch of all time, Jesus? You know, we think about these things aren't, like, Christianity is just not as easy as we kind of like to think it is. There are moments of stretch. There are moments where you have to get out of your comfort zone, where you have to do something that you haven't done before to see results you haven't seen before. Jesus, you know, in the garden, he's like, you know, before the cross, he's like, hey, Dad, yes, well, you know, I kind of know that, you know, I'm going to die on a cross soon, and rather not. Just so that you know that I know that you know, I'm not really that keen on it. You know, the nails and thorns and the spear in the side, it's awkward. yeah, so much pressure on the stretch, he's sweating blood. Come on, somebody. We all want the miracle, but sometimes a miracle is you got to walk on some water. You got to do something that's outrageous. And he's like, oh my gosh, how's this going to happen? He says, oh, Dad, but not my will. There's a bigger picture just around the corner. There's a miracle just around the corner. He's like the greatest stretch of all times, that day when he stretched out his hands. But because of that, the curtain was ripped. The Holy Spirit became available for us. Salvation became a reality where we can have a relationship with God and be saved. The penalty of our sin was paid for in full because the blood of Christ was spilt. The miracle happened on that day. And so the miracles are in stretch moments. And there's a little verse here in Luke chapter 3. I think it's on the screen as well. Let me read it to you. It says, another time he went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in deep anger and deep distress at their stubborn hearts. You see, they had a heart problem. He's upset with them. It's not very often that God gets upset, but he's ticked off at them. And he said to the man with the shriveled hand, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. And he said to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. You know, here's a really great story. You know, I think every healing evangelist needs to have a few stretch stories. One of my favorite was when I was first married 20 years ago. Me and Janine was ministering different places. She was at Hillsong London and I was in America. And it was kind of a very big moment for me because it was my first time on television. And so it was being recorded and played in other parts of America. And so I was nervous. And, you know, back in the day, they'd put the makeup on for television and bloopy stuff and that toilet brush thing, mascara. And, you know, if the face needs painting, paint it. That's what they say. And so I was like, I was nervous. I was going to be on television. I'm like a young 27-year-old or something like that. And it was a reasonably big church. And I was nervous, and Janine rings me up, and I'm scared of my wife, and she says, what are you preaching on? And I told her my story, and she said, don't do that. She said, you need to preach a healing meeting. These guys need healing. And I said, really? She said, yeah, that message, don't do it. And so on the spot, I just changed my message, and you know, it was great, actually. Like, over 250 people came to Christ in that one service, and people were being healed, you know, on stage, and it just seemed to be easy. And, you know, have you ever had pride, but like on a good pride side? You know, if you cleaned your car and you've stepped back and you're going, oh, nice job. Or, you know, or do you know what I'm talking about? You've done a good job. And it's like, yeah. I mean, I reckon Pastor Rick should be allowed to have that every now and then as well. You know, people getting healed, people getting saved. Nice. You know, it's feeling good. It's feeling good. I'm on television. It's, you know, like, but, you know, humble. But, you know, but feeling good. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. I'm on television. And who knows that one whisper from God can ruin the whole thing. You're just in the glow. You know what I'm talking about? Just feeling like in the glow. And I can hear this voice in my head say, Andrew, there's a blind person to your right, and you should pray for him. And I remember thinking to myself, no, I'm not going to be doing that. And the reason why is because why stuff up a good meeting by praying for a blind person? You may think that's a bit harsh, but I had prayed for blind people before, and it just kind of didn't work out the way I thought it would. And I thought, you know, I'm on television, and people getting saved, and people getting healed, and like, why? I don't want to, you know. And so I'm like, you know, my own fears and insecurities. I'm having a little, have you ever had a little conversation in your head? And I'm having a little conversation in my head going, and then I can hear other voices as well. You should be very worried. And because I can hear the devil talking to me as well. It's clear as crystal. And he says, Andrew, if you do this, it's not going to work. It's going to be embarrassing. And when he doesn't get healed, they'll know that God is not real. And I can hear the devil talking to me. It's funny how Walt Disney, do you remember Walt Disney created this character called Donald Duck? Do you remember that person? Might be a long time ago for some of you, but when Donald Duck, this Disney character, was about to do something bad or good, the angel duck appeared on one side and the devil on the other. And they'd have a little competition with poor old Donald's mind. I don't know how Walt Disney did it, but he articulated spiritual warfare perfectly. Those voices are as real as you can imagine. And whether you're a healing evangelist or a young person or a mum or a dad, those voices come to you. Those voices are real and they are contending for your attention. So I can hear I can hear my little insecurities, I can hear the devil. And then I hear other voices as well. Yeah, so, whoa. You know, so it's like, oh, you trippy, I'm getting a refund. No, but I can hear my wife, Janine. Like, she is like the Holy Spirit. She is everywhere. Like, your wife is everywhere. I can hear her pick up their clothes. No, but she, I can hear her say, Andrew, you're a healing evangelist. Go down there immediately and pray for him. And I'm like, God, she's like, you know, and my senior pastor, Phil Pringle, he's like, I'm telling you, that's how he talks. I'm telling you, right here, right now, the power of God's here. Andrew Kabbalah, go down and pray for him. God's going to raise him up. Have faith in God. And so, and then one of my other heroes, you know, Brian Houston, you know, Andy and Janine Kabbalah, I love to call friends. You know, Bobby and I. Well, we just believe that the best is yet to come. And, you know, why don't you all come to Hillsong and be a great church, be a great, great conference if you came. If you came, if you came, if you came. You should all come. You know, it's funny because the Bible says when you're about to do something, it's like there's a cloud of witnesses looking down at you, saying, have a go, you mug. You can do it, you little Aussies. Stretch. Oh, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous. He's blind. I don't know if God can heal him. Have a go. But I'm scared. We all were. Noah, Moses, Jesus, they're all scared. But faith is doing it vomiting. Faith is doing it afraid. Who told you you had to have perfect conditions to move in the miraculous? Who told you? Who bewitched you that told you that prayer doesn't have power? Who sold you that lie? Thank you. Who told you that coming to church was a preference? That you decide somehow on the weather. Who told you that reading the Word of God doesn't transform your soul? Who told you those lies? Don't tell me there's not a fight for your soul, a fight for the miraculous. The devil's going to whisper to you. He's going to say, don't stretch. Live small. Just live a little small Christian life. But I'm telling you right now, there's a cloud of witnesses speaking to you saying, stretch, have a go. Even though you're afraid, even though you feel sick, have a go, you mug. You can do it. And I thank God, listen to me, and I'm serious when I say this. I thank God that when I am stuck, truly, I can think, what would Pastor Brian do? Knowing that Hillsong have stretched, what would Phil Pringle do? My pastor, he's stretched beyond stretch beyond stretched. Over 500 churches around the world, stretching, stretching, stretching for the miraculous. And I think to myself, often, what would my pastor do? Okay, I'm going to have a go.
simply like that, afraid, scared, petrified, but knowing that if God is for me, who can be against me? If God's telling me to do it, then I'm going to have a go. And you know what? I know that your pastors have stretched. And if you're in a tough place, I would honestly think, you know, what would Pastor Rick do? Knowing, even in this building, even knowing their journey, they've stretched time and time and time again. The miracles in the stretch. And when I was praying for this service, I believe this is not just a message, but a prophetic message to you tonight that God is calling this church to stretch again. Even though it may be hard, even though it may look like impossible, I'm telling you now, God is big enough and able enough to do exactly what God is calling this church to do, to influence this community, influence this city, and influence the nations. If we would just believe God, stretch, and give God what God is asking, miracle after miracle after miracle is going to hand. And I'm telling you, I'm prophesying on this very pulpit, people will tell of the great miracles that are happening in and through their lives and in this community. Give God a big clap if you believe that today. Come on, somebody. I'm starting to feel fired up. I feel faith in this room. I'm telling you right now. You know, it's an amazing thing because it's all very good to talk about this story, but I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to do it. And I remember looking to myself to the right nervously, and here's a man with a white cane, and he's got a dog and wraparound glasses, and I thought, that's probably him. And so I went down and I said, buddy, I said, is there anything I can pray for? He says, yeah, I'm blind. And I said, okay, it's always good to ask. And I said, all right, so there's probably another 500 people on this altar call that we're praying for. And so it would only be like 10 seconds into my prayer. He's weeping. And he lifts up his glasses and says, Pastor, I can see. And I said, oh, man, that's fantastic. And so I'm praying for other people. And I was probably about 10 people down. And it's hard for you to understand, but I'm still having a conversation in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like going, is this even real? What did he say? No, he can't. No, surely. But, you know. And so I'm having this little wrestle on my head. And then the blind person came up beside me and put a thump on my back and spun me around. Here he is standing. I thought, oh, he's going to, you know. And he's going to attack me. And he says, Pastor, you don't understand. He said, I was born blind, but now I can see. I see the lights. I see the people. I see everything. And he's crying, hugging me. Find out from Pastor Tommy Barnett at the Dream Center. I was in the Dream Center. That he was brought on a bus, first time in church, brought on a bus. Can you imagine? By himself, hops on a bus, comes to church. Here's a Kiwi preaching about salvation. He walks down by himself on a salvation altar call and prays a prayer, gives his life to Christ. Then he hears that God heals. So he remains on the altar call for to be healed. And then this, so who thinks that he may have stretched that night? Hello? Like a massive stretch. That he's in the room is a miracle. And so, but what he didn't know was that over here was a backslidden healing evangelist, hello, debating whether he was going to be obedient. And church, haven't we all? Haven't we all been a little bit like that where we're going, God, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. But what if it doesn't work? What if I say the wrong thing? What if? But God doesn't want us to say the wrong thing or the right thing. He just wants us to turn up. 90% of the miracle, let me tell you this, quote me, is just you turning up in the room and being that vehicle. If you get it right or wrong, what you perceive is right or wrong, God is big enough to work through even our mistakes, even our fumbling, even our... God still can do the miracle. That's how big he is. And what happened was that he didn't realize that there was kind of a pastor debating whether he was going to stretch. But I think because he stretched and I stretched, God met us in the miracle. And I want to tell you tonight that the miracle is in the stretch. When I look through the Bible, when I look through all the miracle stories, God requires us often to be involved in the miracle, big or small. Sometimes they're big moments, like you have to die on a cross. That's a big moment. But sometimes it's as simple as showing yourself to a priest, going and dipping in a river, or even just being prayed for. Big or small, God requires us to be involved in the miracle, and I think that is the case of this church, that God is requiring us to be involved in the miracle. That big or small, we've got a part to play in the miracle to see the city won for Christ. You know, I love this story. It's a phenomenal story, actually, because there's a guy who had a shriveled hand, and he's coming to church. And I think that's always an interesting thought, because back in the day, if you had a disability, something wrong with you, you wouldn't be allowed in church even. You'd be asked to be at the door. It wouldn't be kosher that you're in the sanctuary. But he had enough kind of faith or something inside of him that he decided he was going to come. Perhaps he was in the beggar's tents at night, and as they were warming themselves, surely they would have told the stories of the miraculous. I mean, through Jerusalem, they would have heard about Jesus. For the first time in the history of the world, lepers are now healed. Never before could lepers' stories be turned around, but now a person called Jesus Christ is healing lepers. And so that story would have rushed through all the story. You can only imagine. And now he heard that Jesus was coming to town. So he comes to church. Perhaps with his hand tucked in to his tunic so that nobody can see the brokenness in his life. You see, we all have things that are broken in our lives. That's the truth of it. And we come to church, we put on our Sunday best and shine up our shoes and make sure our teeth are brushed. But we try to hide the things that are broken because we don't want people to see the ugly. We don't want people to see the things that are hurting in our lives, and that's common in all of us. So he's sitting there. I think that's a great, great kind of moment. I don't know if you've ever snuck into church. I remember doing that in the early days. You kind of maybe not even sit at the back because that would be too obvious, like in the middle. It's where all the naughty ones are. And just in the middle, just trying to blend in, and, you know, he's got his little tunic there. And Jesus is preaching, you know, away, and then he says to the man, "I want you to stand." Could you imagine? He's exposed. He's like, "Oh, gosh." But somewhere in your life, you have to stand for Christ. Somewhere in your life, you have to switch between the 50-50. What I mean by that is with your Christian friends, you're a Christian. But with your non-Christian friends, you're a non-Christian. It's like playing this little game, depending who you're with. And I feel like I'm talking to an audience here that it's like I can do the hallelujah, but I can do other things as well. And God's saying, hey, no, there has to be a point in your life where you'll stand for Christ. I was 15 years old, and a little girl asked me to go to a youth group. And I thought, you know, I was the man. Because when I prayed that one prayer, I realized that he was the man. I gave my life to Christ, and then everything began to change. Everything turned around for me. As I told you, the enormity of a prayer shifted everything. I had no idea that God would do these things for me. To stand for Christ, to stand for the miraculous. And I want to commend your pastors to even to allow a conference to breathe and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister. It's kind of like almost like an becoming like an uncommon thing that a slick message and an idea, you know, to reach people, but not to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to be a priority in a church.
I tell you, it's an abomination that churches aren't letting the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus died on a cross, so that we can have a relationship with Him. And I say to my church, we believe in God, and even that's controversial these days. What I mean by that is we believe in the whole book. We're not going to touch pages out or twink awkward moments out. No. We believe in the whole book. We believe in His power. We believe in His people. We're going to pray for healing and miracles, signs and wonders. And you need to pray for your pastors and commend them that they are standing for Christ, standing for the miraculous, standing for this community, that they're going to be one for Christ. Give them a big clap and thank them. Pray for them every day. You see, these people got upset. The religious people, like, why? Yeah, it's the Sabbath, and you can't heal on the Sabbath. Because Jesus always wants you to win. And that's what I like about it, is that when I think of this conference and this church, He's already for you. He already wants you to win. I'm in the winning team in Wollongong. I'm thinking, if I just do the things that are right, if I just keep God in the room, that's the goal of every Sunday, is I want God in the room. I said, I don't care to the worship team if you sing 3 songs or 5 songs or 10 songs. He says, as long as He's in the room, we're winning. If I preach or don't preach, I don't really care. He's just got to be in the room. That's the goal of every service, is that He's in the room. I'm not really into flags, people running around the flags or anything weird like that. But I need Jesus in the room. I need God in the room. And to worship Him and to have a touch of God, that's the goal. Because He wants us to win. And when He's in the room of our lives, when He's in that sanctuary, nothing's impossible. He's front-footed. He wants people to be healed. He wants people to be saved. That's my core belief. That He's not like tossing up whether He wants to heal you or not. He's like, yeah, I died for you. Why wouldn't I want to heal you? Like, we got this whole healing thing messed up because we like salvation. The salvation story. He died on the cross. Yes. But it says, by His stripes we're healed. You just got to watch The Passion of Christ again, that movie where He gets beaten and whipped and blood splattered all over the place. And you think, gosh, why is He doing all of that? It's for our healing, it says. And on the same day, we were saved, so we were healed. And so we should be able to accept both of them. He wants us. He's front-footed. He got slow again. He's front-footed. He wants us to be healed. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. It's true. All right. What if the worship team could come? There we go. I'm going to have a drink. Drink's break. All right. It's got to get good. You got to give God the thing that is broken in your life so He can heal it. You know, I think that's a really interesting kind of thought. Jesus says to the man, see, he's hiding. He's in the middle of the church. He's hiding, hiding, hiding. Stand up. Oh, it's like an awkward moment. Like I'm standing, but my hand's still hidden, so that's okay. They can't see the thing that's broken. Then he says to, now he's angry. He's like getting ticked off. He says to the man, stretch out your hand. Nope. No way. There's no way. Could you imagine? It's like, I'm not doing it. Would you do it? I wouldn't do it. I mean, at least I'd peek. I'd have a peek. I'd peek first. Nah, it's not healed. Like, I'm not, like, seriously, I'll be like, but Jesus, stretch out your hand. No, I'm not going to, no. Because we want the miracle before the stretch. Come on, let's be honest. We want the miracle before the stretch. You have to give God the thing that's broken in your life for Him to heal it. If you try to hide it, you can't fix it. You got to give Him the thing that's broken. I'm angry. I'm lost. I'm hurt. I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. I'm sinning. Nobody would even know. You got to give God the ugly. So here it is, Lord. I can deal with that. But while it's hidden, you can't fix it. Be like, who reckons that he would be having a little Donald Duck moment right then? There would have been 1,000 voices talking to him, saying, don't you do it. Don't you do it. If you do it, they'll know. Oh, if they do it, it's not going to heal you. It can't heal you. You've had that for your whole life, that shriveled hand. What would make you think that a 30-second moment on an altar call could change anything? Who thinks that your prayer would change something? That's what the devil will whisper to you on your Monday when you're sitting beside a friend who's sick. And God's saying to you, pray for them. He'll whisper to you, say, oh, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Don't you listen to the devil. Today's about you, your life, your miracle. And the miracles are going to come through your life into your friends and family members. The miracle's in your stretch. Stretch out your hand. Give God the ugly. Give him your fears, your worries, your concerns. He can deal with that. So then the guy, he's like, oh my gosh. He's nervous. He's having fellowship. He's like, oh my God, I feel like vomiting. I don't know what to do. It's not working. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I can't do it. I've got to do it. 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, I can't do it. I can't do it again. Can I trust God? Can you trust God? Could you imagine? It's like that, but now it's like that. It's healed. Shut the gate. Good life. When God healed me, I got to tell you, it was a big moment. It was a big moment for my family, big moment for the doctors, big moment. But I got to tell you, it's a tough moment for me, because when those youth pastors came in with their big Bible, smiling, I mean, where was the stretch for me? I didn't have faith. I could have said to them, it was within my rights, 5 years of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, vomiting. It's like torture. Day after day, week after week, I could have said to them, to those youth pastors, why are you getting my hopes up? Why are you teasing me now in this 11th hour? All these days of sickness, and now when I'm dying, you are coming into my room saying that God can heal me. I could have kicked them out. I could have said, no, go away. Let me die in peace. Where was the miracle for me? The miracle was even in my unbelief. Even in all my pain. And all my hurt, all my disappointment from 5 years of chemotherapy and radiotherapy, a bone marrow transplant, to allow them to pray for me. Maybe that was enough faith. The Bible says all you need is as much as a seed. Maybe that was enough for God to do what he needed to do. A whiff of faith, a sniff. Just a whisper, a prayer. He heard it. He says, I'll take it. Let's see what I can do with this kid who's broken. He's got nothing left. But now, let me see what I can do through him. 100,000 people in the last 10 years. People walking out of wheelchairs, people, God. It was only a few months ago, Pastor Rick, I was walking along the beach in Wollongong, and I prayed a prayer, and I said, God, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have leukemia. And I stopped myself. Shut up. Why would you even think that? Because I know that if I didn't go through those journeys, I wouldn't be where I am now. It wouldn't be that belief inside of me, knowing that God can shift an atmosphere of a people. There wouldn't be a belief inside of me saying that nothing is impossible for God. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. You know, church, I just felt like God was talking to me. I said to Pastor Rick, I've been thinking about this message for a long, long time, praying, believing God for this service. I feel like there are some people today, and maybe you've found yourself in a funny spot where you've been away from God. Or maybe you've never prayed a prayer asking Christ to come into your life. But you're saying, Andrew, you know what? I need to get myself back in that place. And I just wanted to take a moment before we pray for miracles, that we would just examine our hearts. There has to be a point in our life where you'd stand for Christ. And the truth is, and I say this to my church all the time, when's the last time you're honest with your soul? Like, who are you kidding? Like, who are you trying to... God doesn't know. He knows. He knows, sees everything, knows everything. But when's the last time you, like, put a mirror to your soul and ask that question? Am I in relationship with God? And I think that's the most honest prayer you can possibly pray. It's not manipulative. It's just you and God just talking. And what I know about that is God will talk to you, bang, straight like that. In fact, for most of us, he's already talking. But God will talk to you. There may not be like an audible voice booming down from the roof. But certainly there'd be a knowing, a prompting inside of our spirit. This is like a feeling, like that little Donald Duck kind of moment. And I want you to respond to that. And give God this window to reconnect to him. Because prayer is powerful, friends. Otherwise, why would we bother praying? He's hearing. He sees everything. And so I'm going to just spend a minute just praying on that way. At the end of that prayer, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, or perhaps a prayer asking Christ into your life just for the first time, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. I'll see that hand. Just where you said it. You don't have to do anything else. And then all together and out loud, we're going to pray that prayer together, asking Christ to come into your life and asking him to forgive you for any wrongs. It's called a salvation prayer. But I believe that God's going to hear it and he's going to touch your life. And so, come on, why don't we just bow our heads and just take a moment and just ponder that thought, am I in relationship with God? It's a beautiful prayer. It's a simple prayer. And let God speak into your hearts. And let me pray for you, God. I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, perhaps, or second time, maybe visiting from another church. They're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but I'm not in relationship with God, not like you're talking about. But something has to turn for me. Something has to shift for me. Or maybe you're saying, Andrew, you know what? It is sin that's separating me from God. Perhaps a wrong relationship. Maybe a secret sin that nobody else would even know about. But we've heard today that God hears and sees everything. Or maybe you hear you saying, Andrew, if I was to face death like you had to when you were younger, if I was to walk out of this room tonight, get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. Pastor Andrew, would you pray with me so I can begin my relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have that assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend. When's the last time you're honest with him? If you're saying, Andrew, I need to pray that prayer, rededicating my life to God or giving my life to God, I want you to just slip up your hand just right now. I'll see it. I ask you to put it down. Thank you, friend. Who else today you're saying, Andrew, that's me? Something has to turn. Something has to shift for me. Is there other people here tonight and you're saying, Andrew, that's me? Thanks, buddy. Who else today? You're saying something's shifting. Something's turning. I've got to be honest with God. Thanks, mate. Who else today? Is there somebody else here today? You're saying, Andrew, something's turning for me. Something's shifting. Thank you. Thank you. Who else today? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thanks. Thank you. Who else today? Thanks. See that hand. Thanks, mate. Is there somebody else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Maybe it's your very first time in a conference like that. Thank you, sir. And you're just thinking, man, I need to really pray this prayer. It's the start of a journey. It's powerful. You can do it. Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to those insecurities. If God's a good God, you've got nothing to lose, friend. He's only going to give you good things. But give him this window. Give him an opportunity. How hard is it to pray one prayer? It's not hard at all. It's easy. Is there anybody else? You're saying, Andrew, that's something I really need to do. That's wonderful. Well, we're all going to pray this prayer. Why don't you just put your hand on your heart, just where you're seated, and pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, we can pray a bit louder than that. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Restore to me the first love of my heart. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world, take away my sin. Today, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you, God. I thank you for every person that prayed that prayer. Maybe you didn't even lift up your hand tonight, but you prayed that prayer with earnest. Friend, he sees everything. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their lives. Lord, that the Bible teaches us that the old is gone and the new has come, that we are like new creations. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would find fellowship and community in this church. And miracle after miracle is going to come around their life, not only for them, but for the generations to come. God, we honor you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a big, big clap. Isn't it good? Wonderful. Well, I would like to just take a few moments just to pray for healing and pray for miracles, because I believe in that. We travel the world to do so. And I know that time is ticking on. But the truth is, you can get to heaven with cancer, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. You can't get to heaven without a relationship. The greatest miracle is that salvation moment, actually. And it should be a priority in our everyday life, is leading people to Christ. But just quickly, so that you know what's going to happen, in a minute I'm going to just pray for a few people who are sick, and we're going to believe God for their healing. And when I say that, we are going to pray. We're all praying. When I'm praying for somebody, I'm pretty much thinking this could be my mum or my dad or my brother or sister. And it actually changes the way that we pray. When Pastor Rick is praying for somebody, we should always be thinking, this could be my mum. This could be my dad. And everybody wants mum to be healed. And so you'd stretch out your hand and you'd pray with all your might in that regard. You know what I'm talking about. And when I'm praying for you, it would be appropriate if you were just to hold out your hands like you're about to receive a gift. It's a gift from heaven. And not out loud, but just in your head, just say 1,000 times over, God, thank you for healing me. The reason for that is I don't want you to think about me. I'm not the healer. He's the one. The Bible says, lift up your eyes to the Lord, to the mountains. This is where your help comes from. That prayer is saying, God, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing me. And I tell all of our training schools and everything like that very quickly, for the next 48 hours, every time you think about your problem, just say, God, thank you for healing me. And the reason for that is the devil's only got one trick. He's pretty much in the car park, and he'll whisper to you and say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to last. And that's why you just combating that with a simple prayer of saying, God, thank you for healing me, just brushes off that Donald Duck moment and allows faith just to take seed in your life and to keep that healing. So I want to pray for somebody. I feel like it was a Lord spoke to me about a lady who was in a car accident or an accident of some description, And I think you've been in pain and for a long time, maybe a few years even, but you're here tonight. And I would like to pray for that person. Who is that person? And I just take a few seconds, and you're thinking, is it me or isn't it me? It's always you. Who is there? Somebody I can pray for who's like that? Oh, hello. Hi. Do you want to come up? Is it your husband? No, a friend? Good. Come on. Hi. How are you doing? Wait, are you shy? No, you know. Oh, it's good. All right. Come up. Yeah. And are you a catcher? We've got catchers. Okay. We're grown up. Hi, what's your name?
Belinda.
Yeah. And what happened to you, can I ask?
It's a shoulder injury. Yeah, disc.
And how long ago was that?
About 12 months ago.
12 months ago? And where is the sorest part?
Just around here.
Around there? Perfect. Okay, church, why don't we just stand up and we're just going to pray. Now, just reiterating, I'll do all the heavy lifting. The church is going to pray with you. But in about 10 seconds, you're going to feel warmth come into your shoulder. And those ligaments, muscles, bones are going to just come together. And healing is going to take place. In fact, I can feel warmth coming into your shoulder even now. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, stretch out your hands, church. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, Lord, right now for healing to take place. God, we thank you, Father, right now for this injury and all these symptoms to fall off her life. I rebuke the devil. I rebuke pain in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, God, right now, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. The healing come around her shoulder. You know, please just relax. Don't fall down. Don't do anything like that. I just want you to stay completely relaxed. But as I'm talking to you, I can feel warmth coming thumping through my hand into your shoulder. Can you feel that warmth feeling, warmth sensation as well? A little bit. That's what healing feels like. I feel like the Holy Spirit just coming in, just slowly, slowly, slowly. And I feel like the Lord talking to me and saying, there are other ailments in your body as well that you didn't actually mention, but God's healing them as well. I feel like there's been like other joint pains, maybe like I feel like the word arthritis had been maybe mentioned or spoken over your life, but I'm telling you right now, you're never going to suffer arthritis. Healing's going to come right through your body in Jesus' name, over your knees and your hips, all the way through your body in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, right now. The power of God, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Even as I said that, I feel like that warmth got a little bit warmer coming into your shoulder now. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that all that pain's leaving, all that pain's going in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now. The power of God, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Man, this feels quite amazing. I can feel like your shoulder's getting on fire now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Healing over our whole body in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your, let's lift up their hand a little bit. Can you just give a little lift? And how's that feeling? Just give a little wiggle, the shoulder wiggling thing. You know, how are you feeling when you do that?
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad? Some particular movements.
Yeah.
Well, I'm quite keen on you. Why don't you do it like a particular movement? That's what I'm talking about. I love you. We should be friends on Facebook.
It's a lot better.
Feels a lot better?
Yeah, it does.
Does?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice.
Thank you.
Now, this is the truth of it. Just give me a moment because there's been a lot of joking around tonight. But I don't feel like this is like a lightweight miracle at all. And there is a fight. And it's funny that I feel like we joked about Donald Duck. But it's like the devil whispering to you saying, how can this actually happen in a 30-second moment? But actually, it's exactly what's going to happen. Everything's going to turn. Everything's shifting. What the devil is trying to rob from you, God is going to restore, and you're going to laugh. Your house will be filled with laughter, says the Lord. And you will stand and testify from this very pulpit that God is a God who heals. And miracle after miracle is going to fall around your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a seat. Oh, I like it. Always the naughty people at the back, Pastor Rick. Middle, back, doesn't matter. But who's got it? There's a hip problem. Who's got the hip problem down here? Is there somebody with a hip problem? Who's got the hip problem? Is that you, darling? Come on over here. I've got to find you. Hello. Hello, Miss Hip. How are you doing? That's good. How long have you had a hip problem for?
2 years.
Pastor Rick should have had me earlier. That's a little evangelistic joke. Can you come and join me over here? Which hip is sore? This one. Mm. And why is it sore? Has it got arthritis or?
Bursitis and tears and things.
Oh,
like
is
that.
It really? Okay. Well, I would put my hand on your hip, but Janine doesn't like it because she says, I always choose the pretty girls to pray for it. That's what he's. No, why? Come on. But I've got my healing evangelist apprentice here, and she's going to put her hand on your hip, okay? I'll put my hand on your shoulder, and the whole church is going to pray for you. Just relax. Relax. And healing's going to come through her hands. The power of God's going to fall. If you need healing in your body, just slip out of your seat and come and stand in this front just right now. Just come, slip out. If you need healing in your body, you want prayer, just come. If you're believing for a baby to be born, just come. If you need something that seems impossible, just come right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this pain in her hip to shift and all of her joints in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. You know, I honestly believe that God's healing is not just for the young, but it's for the middle aged. It's for the older people as well. God doesn't want us to die of cancer or leukemia. He wants us to just to die in peace and go straight up to heaven. And sickness, I bind and break your power. I command these ligaments to come together. I command Father God, for sinews to join. Father God, the bones to be healed in the name of Jesus. The Lord, that she'd be able to do her chores and work and retire with grace and with ease in the name of Jesus. And sweetheart, I see an amazing picture with you, like walking through Coles, doing your shopping, but without pain, laughing at the goodness of God, saying, I didn't think it could happen to me, but yet here it is. God has done a great thing for me. Miracle after miracle after miracle in the name of Jesus. I see you sharing your story with other friends over coffee, saying it's not too late. God can still heal. God can still do miracles. And sharing your faith and leading people to the Lord. I see it, an evangelistic gift in your life, a boldness actually, leading people to the Lord in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord. Right now, the power of God fall and let it fall in Jesus' name. It's like oil coming around that hip now. See, like oil coming around that hip, just like an ointment, just like an oil, just like a smoothness coming around that hip in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. All that pain, I command it to shift now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now come with me. Come. We'll just go a little bit of a walk because, as we're walking, I feel like it's going to be just like a little ease around that hip in Jesus' name. How are you feeling?
Much better.
You're much better?
Much better.
Much better?
Much better.
How good's that? Are you sure?
No pain.
No pain? I like you. No, stay here. Stay here. We should be friends on Facebook or something. I'm telling you, you're so nice. You got the nicest people in your church, Pastor Rick. But listen, please, for the next 48 hours, don't forget that. I just want to, God, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. Now, one day without pain is going to turn into a week. It's going to turn into a lifetime. So you know what? Hard to believe that would happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to pray for you. Who's my catcher? I've got a fantastic catcher, but he's not here. Okay, he's here now. He's here now. Take a step forward so we know who we're praying for. And I want you to stretch out your hands like you're about to receive a miracle, friends. I'm going to put my hands on you. We're going to ask God for healing over your body. And the whole church, as we sing the song, I want you to pray over these people, believing for a miracle for them. And just turn this thing into like a prayer meeting, a holy moment in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. Come on, church, stretch out your hands. Come on. Your prayer's got to count. It's got to count. It's got to count. More people get healed in church than outside of church. Why? Because there's more people praying. My gosh. Thank you, Lord. Miracle after miracle. Miracle after miracle. This is the day the Lord has made. Everything's about to change. Everything's about to turn around. Come against every spoken word, every written word by every doctor, nurse, as well meaning as they are not God. Healing now. Healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. A new fire. Miracles, miracles, miracles in the name of Jesus. It's funny. I feel like I'm asking God, but he's saying, Andrew, you don't even need to know. Here comes the power of God, falling, 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 falling. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Everything changing now. Everything turning now. Miracle, miracle. Falling, let it fall, let it fall. A fresh oil falling over this life. Fresh oil falling over this life. Healing, healing, healing. Everything changing. Everything turning around. For this baby, is it? For mum. Father, in the name of Jesus. Touching this life, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Healing, healing, healing. Healing and a little blessing over this baby, Lord. No sickness. Every single day is going to walk with you. Know you. Talk with you. Going to eat well, sleep well, have a blessed life in the name of Jesus. Bless mum, bless the Lord, healing over her body in the name of Jesus. Here comes. God, we thank you, Lord. Healing. Healing. Healing, 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 healing. Healing, 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 healing. Healing, healing, healing. Here comes. Here comes. Here comes. Here comes. Power of God. Falling, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Healing, healing, healing. Ra 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 ma si ra ka ra ba ra ba si ra ba 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 ra ba. Here comes the power of God falling. Pain, sickness, even as life. Power of God falling. Falling, 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 falling. Healing, healing, healing. Come on, church. Stretch out your hands. Stretch out your hands, church. Everything could turn. Everything's about to shift. Miracle after miracle. Pain leaving this body. Healing coming. Healing, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Healing, healing, healing. Healing, healing, healing in Jesus' name. Body right now. The doctors have got it wrong. Healing's going to come into your life. Sickness is leaving. Everything's turning. The power of God falling. Falling, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Miracle after miracle. Miracle after miracle. Jesus' name. Here comes. I'm telling you, that's the power of God falling through your body in Jesus' name. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Come on, Jesus' name. That's just life, a miracle for him. Come on, Lord. It's a new day. Healing, healing, healing. Come on, touch him again. Right here, right now, the power of God falling. He hasn't missed you, he hasn't passed you by. God sees everything. He hears everything. Father, in the name of Jesus, by your stripes, he is healed. In the name of Jesus. Here comes the power of God falling into your veins, into your life, your bones, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Here comes the power of God falling, falling, falling. Here comes Holy Spirit falling through your life. Sickness, get off in the name of Jesus. Infirmity, get off in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Here goes the power of God falling, falling, falling. Falling, falling, falling. Everything turning. Everything shifting. Come on, church, just lift your hands in the presence of God. I want to tell you something. I feel like the Holy Spirit just talking to me all week, that the miracles in the stretch. There's great miracles in this place. And God is going to use you in amazing ways. Come on, lift your hands to Him. Isn't He good? Isn't He kind? I'm telling you, even this next week, in the next few months, there's going to be many, many moments that the Holy Spirit's going to begin to talk to you, going to give you business ideas. He's going to talk to you about walking over and talking to the neighbor and just sharing the good news or inviting them to church. You're going to be sitting beside somebody in a coffee shop and the Holy Spirit's going to just whisper to you to talk to them about God. I'm telling you, even when you're afraid, God is going to use you in mighty, mighty ways. This conference is a platform for the miraculous. That we will lift up our eyes again. Because this is where our help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today for the miraculous. Everything's changing now. Everything's turning. This is the day that the Lord has made. God, we just thank you, Lord. Friends, every person that's believing God for healing tonight, as you go home with holy boldness, just thank God. Say, God, thank you for my healing. When you wake up this morning, tomorrow morning, just say, God, thank you for my healing. I'm telling you, as you do that this week, everything is changing. When you go back to the doctor, they'll say, your blood's changed. That arthritis in your knee, you don't need steroid injections anymore. Symptoms are going to fall off you. That's what healing feels like. That's how God operates. God, we honor you and we give you praise. And the whole church said, come on, let's give them one more big shout and a clap. Pastor Rick.
Very good. Whoa, very good. Awesome. How's your faith? Ah, wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Andy. Great challenge, a great stretch. The miracle is in the stretch. I receive that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, don't forget, tomorrow, 9:30 in the morning, it all starts here. We've got a great day ahead of us. We're going to be having a session here, breaking out and having a great time as well. But 5:30 tomorrow evening, not 7:30, 5:30. And then maybe we'll go out for lunch or dinner tomorrow night or something. Anyway, God bless you. Have a fantastic evening. Thanks.